requesting us here. With that, we're going to call order the joint meeting of the Executive Committee of the Transportation Committee for Monday, December 4th, 2023, 4:30 p.m. And we're going to start with the roll call of the Executive Committee.
City of Coachella?
Here.
City of Palm Springs?
Here.
City of Indio?
Here.
29 Palms Band of Mission Indians? Torres Martinez Desert Cahuilla Indians? Cabazon Band of Cahuilla Indians? Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indians? City of Indian Wells?
Present.
City of Cathedral City?
Here.
City of Palm Desert?
Here.
City of La Quinta?
Present.
City of Blythe?
Here.
County of Riverside? City of Rancho Mirage?
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs?
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. And now I'm going to give it over to the Transportation Chairperson.
Well, welcome everyone, and I'll deal with exactly what the Executive Committee Chair said. Thank you for being here. With that, to go ahead and call the meeting to order and ask for a roll call for Transportation Committee members.
Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indians?
Here.
City of Blythe?
Here.
City of Cathedral City?
Here.
City of Coachella?
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs?
Present.
City of Indian Wells?
Present.
City of India?
Present.
City of La Quinta?
Present.
City of Palm Desert?
Here.
City of Palm Springs?
Present.
City of Rancho Mirage?
Here.
County of Riverside? Torres Martinez, Desert Cahuilla Indian? Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Would everyone stand?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now we're going to take public comments on the joint committee agenda items. Is there any public comments?
Chair, we receive none.
Anybody would like to speak? Public coming forth, close public comments, and we'll move to the Executive Committee Chair and Transportation Committee Chair announcement.
I've got a few. Thank you, Chairs. One is another bit of good news, and that's related to Tropical Storm Hillary. I don't usually say those words all together. The good news is, I think all of you saw, is on November 21st, the President did declare that a federal disaster, and that's really important for those of you that are spending oftentimes lots of money on storm repair and addressing many of the other issues. I know Supervisor Perez wanted to make mention of that. I think some acknowledgement and the good work of the county on that. Perhaps we can pass that along to Bruce and others with the county emergency management. Related to Hillary, one of the perhaps persistent concerns we may have is related to air quality. Over the last few months, we've seen dust storms. They seem to be very related to the mud flows that came out of Mission Creek. And that mud flow being along I-10, which tends to be the windiest place in the Coachella Valley. Just note, we're working with South Coast Air Quality Management District on that, putting additional monitors in the Coachella Valley. And this will be a subject, Mayor Ortiz, on your next Energy and Sustainability Committee meeting on January 11th. Another quick note about that meeting on January 11th. We do have a climate pollution reduction grant opportunity with EPA, which could mean up to $200 million for the Inland Empire. The Coachella Valley is a part of those two counties, a small part, but we're going to be certainly advocating for our share of that funding. Perhaps finishing up, I think most of you know that the city of Rancho Mirage and CVAG turned 50 this year. And we're just wrapping up our public meetings.
Hey.
And, city.
I was waiting.
And they had a party for something.
With Mary Ellen.
His performance evaluation next month.
Perhaps Mary Ellen.
Really, I remember, CBAC turns 50. I don't know who else turned 50 in 2023. We are celebrating a little bit this year after this meeting. We're going to have hors d'oeuvres that way after the meeting. So please stick around, have an hors d'oeuvre, and celebrate our successes. As you know, 50 may have special meeting this year because there may be 50 million of these things to celebrate in a couple of days related to the last agenda item from Indian Canyon. And lastly, as the chair pointed out, we are at a special place in the Coachella Valley. And I do want to introduce Michelle Finney, Desert Care Network's CEO, who's been a huge advocate with us for making sure there are connections in and out of Palm Springs into this very facility.
So I mean, first off, is I want to welcome you all to the Sergio's building, the iconic Sergio's building. And I also want to welcome you to Desert Regional. I know that a lot of you are very familiar with the facility and the complexity of the services that are provided here with trauma and comprehensive stroke, high-risk OB and NICU. And really, in very, very many ways, this hospital serves as a safety net provider for a lot of the small community outlying facilities that just don't have the same depth and breadth that we offer here. Tropical Storm Hillary was an event that caused great loss. The facility lost access from all four major access points. And only did we lose road access, but we also lost air access. So you can imagine how very challenging it was for a hospital with the depth and breadth of this facility. As we were attempting to bring in NICU babies, we were attempting to get some trauma cases to have the staff and equipment that they needed. And we had then the road closures that took place on the 10 that had left about 40% of our workforce not being able to get to the hospital. So, there is someone who wants to send you all the biggest hug you've ever received and say thank you, thank you, thank you for all of your work that you have done on really recognizing the impacts to this community with some of these road disruptions. And I was also happy to hear a bit about some of the sandstorms, because that also creates a lot of issues when you have EMS providers in an emergency room or emergency medical transports that have very time-sensitive issues in those rigs. And they have people who are losing brain, people who are losing cardiac muscle, and they just have to be able to get to the facilities on the beat. So again, I'm going to send you all my thank yous, my best wishes, my extreme hug, and I, too, will say I am very appreciative of Bruce and Riverside County, because I can tell you they brought us through this in a stellar fashion, and their support and their communication was bar none. So thank you very much.
With that, we'll move on to item number 10. This is a consent calendar for the Transportation Committee.
What are the wishes of the committee?
Move approval for the Eagle City.
Second.
Second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? No. Motion carries. Item number 10.1, there are no consent calendar items held.
And now we'll take the consent calendar for the Executive Committee.
Move approval.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Nothing is held over. We'll move to the discussion action.
They're all joint. All the discussion action items are joint transportation and Exactly.
12A is going to be the construction contract award for the CV Link multimodal transportation corridor project segments 3, 4, 5, federal aid project numbers CML 616427, CML 616428, 29, and project number CML 2023-001. Any additional subsegments? John.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm sorry, Jeff. Just one administrative matter that I know the chairs are aware of. Given the overlap on this, after the staff report, any of the committee members get asked questions, but of course the chair of transportation will lead the deliberation and potential action, and then chair of the executive committee will do the same.
Thank you, honorable chairs and committee members. Good afternoon. The item before you is for the next segment of Stevie Lane to award for construction. And all those different project, federal project numbers you listed make up segments 3, 4, and 5 on the next overall on Stevie Lane's overall program. So Stevie Lane's ultimately 40-mile span is approved project scope or length within the Coachella Valley. To date, with what has been constructed and what is currently under construction, there's about 23 miles of CU Link. What's on your agenda today is to award the addition of two segments. The north segment of North Palm Springs is segments 3 and 4, which will go from Highway 111 along Chino Canyon Levee easterly to Vista Chino, and then connect to the existing portion that continues down to Romo Road. And then in the East Valley, on Segment 5, this will connect through Cabazon Band of Cuyah Indians and Palms Band of Mission Indians through their levee portions and connect the portion of construction in Indio to the portion in Coachella. So this will connect both segments from actually in the East Valley from Washington Street all the way down to Thurmo and then in Palm Springs, connecting from the visitor center ultimately down to Coachella City. Included in the bid package were two bid alternatives that received prices for, bids for, but we're not going to execute those contracts until we get permits to move forward. One of those is along Highway 111. This is separate because it's in Highway 111's jurisdiction, Caltrans jurisdiction. So as soon as we get the permit from Caltrans, we can add this to the contract. That will physically connect the visitor center and go all the way to the levee. And then down in the East Valley, there is the undercrossing of the Union Pacific Railroad. That's a separate permit process, and once we get the permit for that, we can move forward. I have a list of features in detail in the staff report. I'll go through them really quickly. These are all standard features, different branding and elements that go in with CV Link. I'm sure many of you are all of you are familiar with. This is the base segment is about a little under 9 miles, but those two additive sections on Highway 111 and then the undercrossing make about 10 miles of additional pathway. Included with this construction is three additional access points with all the elements and features that are included with those. So moving on to the bids, we received two bids for the project. The base bid, the low bid, was $21.2 million for Ames Construction, and the second was Brandon for $22.5 million. Ames is a contractor that was awarded this current phase of construction, so they're in place and working. And then Granite, obviously, is a local firm, a local company out here that put in under it. When we look at the totals for this award or this recommendation, the base bid was 21.2. We include those additive alternatives with A and B, and then 10% contingency, we get to 30.7 million. By the way, looking at the additive alternatives for Granite's contract, it still was about a little over 1 million more than Ames if we look at the overall. So Ames, when we evaluated the bid and the whole bid package, we determined to be the lowest responsive bidder. So staff is recommending to authorize the executive director to execute this construction contract to Ames for a not to exceed amount of the $30.734 million for these segments 3, 4, and 5. And this includes contingency and the added alternatives A and B. That concludes my staff report, and I can answer your questions.
All right, we'll begin with the Transportation Committee. Are there any questions from the Transportation Committee on item number 8?
Move approval.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Is there an extension or a no? We'll hand it over to the executive committee.
Thank you very much. Your questions from the executive committee.
Looking to move approval.
There's a motion and a second. Any other conversation? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And then one more administrative matter. If you don't have that many microphones, please move them over. If you do have questions or making a motion, et cetera, or bellow out the motion.
Item 12B is going to be the next steps for the arts and music line project components.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're here for you tonight to receive authorization for three contracts for the arts and music line project. Recent activity on the project, we are at two-thirds complete on our plans, and we're moving toward 90% plan submission early next year. We are before you tonight for three contracts for construction management and non-infrastructure program. And I also wanted to mention that we are in the environmental study phase. We've received some approvals from Caltrans already, and we're also engaging with the railroad on the overpass structure at the east end of the project. A little map reminding us of the location of the arts and music line, serving 10 or 11 schools, I lost count, 11 schools nearby, as well as disadvantaged communities. And at the south end there, there's the music festival location for the music festivals. The current estimated cost of the project is $46.1 million, and that includes the cost for design, construction, right-of-way acquisition, utility coordination, all the way through construction and construction management. And that's broken down by our $36.5 million ATP grant that CBAG received, topped off by CBAG's regional funding and contributions from the three cities of La Quinta, Indio, and Coachella. Next steps coming up for the project, we're looking at environmental approval in Q2 of next year, plan approval in quarter three, right-of-way approval at the end of next year, and begin construction mid-year of 2025. And we're estimating right now about a two-year construction duration for the project. We advertised an RFP in July for construction management to assist us during the preparation of the plans and potentially to also inspect and manage the project once it's in construction. We received four proposals, and our scoring committee, which included CBAG staff, La Quinta staff, and staff from the City of Indio, we recommended Hanford Advisory to be the construction manager for the reasons they provide most of the jurisdictional client support. They certainly have local experience in multiple jurisdictions here in the Valley. They had a lot of good observations in the proposal about the project, as well as proposals of managing the budget for the design and construction. And they're also presently the City Link Construction Manager. There's a lot of elements of the Arts and Music Line project that mimic, if you will, the City Link project. And we are excited about some of the advice that they've given, even in the proposal for the project. And, of course, they have an office here in Coachella Valley. We're also recommending a smaller contract for TY Lynn. There are complicated elements of this project, including crossing underneath the Jefferson and Highway 111 intersection, and that could include some kind of structure, as well as modifications to a bridge at the east end of the project. And so we want to have TY Lynn on board to provide a third-party review in case of complications and in case Caltrans, by virtue of the funding, comes back and demands adding engineering on the project. And this company also has local experience and, as I said, can add technical support for the project. We've got to come up with a better name for non-infrastructure program. It's all about education and outreach. And what is done with Safe Routes to Schools projects, we're looking to do with this project, engaging communities, students, visitors, working with the music festival to heighten the awareness of how to bike safely, or how to cross roads safely. And this was an element of our ATP application where we committed to conducting the non-infrastructure program. We received three proposals, and Chen Ryan Associates was the highest ranked proposal. Not only did Indio and La Quinta staff support the review of the proposals, but we also worked with the county health department to review the proposals. And Chen Ryan brings a lot of relevant project experience, including local, They certainly know the stakeholders because they helped us write the grant that won us the $36.5 million ATP grant. They're also assisting in the design of the project. And I think they also proposed some innovative outreach activities to engage not only the music festival, but also the schools. Just a refresher on some of the innovative design elements of this rather cool project. We're talking about colored pavement as cyclists would approach intersections to remind them of the presence of an intersection and need to potentially stop or yield. We're talking about solar lights in the path, as well as bollards that light up to highlight key intersections. And this would certainly assist with wayfinding for our cycle path users, particularly at this time of day. And more renderings showing how we would propose to approach intersections, along with some green pavement markings, which are used quite frequently in the design of bikeway improvement projects. The project also includes some innovative lighting columns to light the way, as well as to make placement for users of the path. This is a rendering of an offshoot from Avenue 48. This would follow the La Quinta evacuation channel and provide an enhanced experience for users as they ride up the channel and connect up to the CD Lincoln Promontory Point. Another rendering of light standards proposed for the project. So our recommendation, we have four recommendations to execute a professional service agreement with Answer Advisory to provide the primary construction management during the pre-construction phase, as well as a contingency because there are some unknowns, even at this stage of the project. Also, the supporting role by T.Y. Lin at a $50,000 contract to support Answer Advisory and CBAG. The item number three, professional service agreement with Chen Ryan for $934,730. For the non-infrastructure program, which will be branded, as well as finally negotiating and executing amendments with the three cities to update the our reimbursement agreements to reflect the cost of these contracts. Thank you very much. Here to answer any questions.
Any questions from the Transportation Committee? Move approval. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Say no's. Motion carries.
Executive Committee, any questions?
The design phase part of it, are the cities involved in the design phase? Are we going to see that at some point?
Yes, ma'am. The cities are involved. We have regular monthly meetings with representatives from all the cities, plus the county, and conducting regular communications with them.
And can you just share if 48th remains two lanes plus this art music line component, or are we losing an entire traffic lane?
No, that is not the case. We are maintaining the two lanes in each way.
Okay. Any other questions from the executive?
Just share them quickly.
Yes.
Definitely appreciate this project, and obviously thank our colleagues for advancing this, and everyone that's working on it. You know, this community of Carver Track, which is east part of Indio, really deserves this love. I mean, I think this is going to go a long way for that area. And obviously, it's county land, but my hope is eventually something for City of Indio officials to consider is that we eventually annex that area into Indio. There are some stuff that we're working on outside of this project, but just want to put it out there. You know, we've heard about the accidents that have taken place around that area, as well as in City of Coachella and other areas. Obviously, this will help in preventing the accidents that do occur. The outreach in the cover track area, I just want to make sure that I understand that we're going to do quite extensive outreach, but that door knocking is going to be critical. I'm not sure if the phone calls will work as well, or mail alerts will work as well, but definitely the door knocking will go a long way for that specific area. And just as a especially we're talking about community events that are going to be popping up, which I think are great. My hope is that as we are working on this effort and recording this now, that we don't lose sight of the future. And we don't forget about the need to continue to coordinate other events, whether that be the Day Festival or what have you, outside of these concerts, but as well the cities, specifically County, Indio, Chela, La Quinta, because these are the areas that are most impacted directly. Obviously everyone else plays a role, but I just want to make sure that we just do not forget how far we've come and honestly what else we can do to improve that area, the 48th Avenue area, cover track, and then all the way down to the city of La Quinta. Just wanted to put those pointers out there for people to be mindful of as we continue with this project. And thank you for the good work.
Any other questions? Comments?
Move approval, La Quinta.
Second. The motion is your second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Item C is to support the SEEK Traffic Engineering Services. Mr. Gusterson.
Good evening, chairs, members of the committee. I'm Chris Gutterson, CB Sync Program Manager. Here to talk to you about our need for on-call traffic engineer support for the CB Sync program. Currently, with phase one of the CB Sync program, we have completed phase one, which is Highway 111, Washington Street, and Ramon Road. And with that, we have our initial timing and some of the maintenance timing that's been completed. However, there's also a need for ongoing timing and traffic engineering services that I am not authorized to do. And what we would need a traffic engineer for would be for design immunity, to protect agencies and CDAG as well. And it's only going to get busier because with phase two coming in, we have 19 more corridors planned and two more sitting in the bullpen. So we're looking at close to 400 signals, and there'll be a lot of decisions that need to be made with that in terms of traffic engineering, and it'll be nice to have that support on hand for that. So with the process, we went out for advertisement. We got five companies to submit. Another five finalists were Kim Horn and HR Green. And through the selection committee, we've chosen HR Green as the contractor and the engineering firm for this. And the recommendation for this would be to authorize the executive director to authorize a one-year contract, not to exceed $300,000, with an option for three additional one-year agreements. And one of the things I do want to remind you, this is on call, so it's as needed. And it's done on a job basis, so that's one of the things I want to make sure that we spread. This is not just a blank check for $300,000. It's an on-call basis. And with that, I'm open for questions.
I'm going to go ahead and start with the Transportation Committee. I will say, though, that CV Link, CV Sync, Arts and Music Lane, and then we'll be getting into, obviously, Indian Canyon. I don't think in the 18 years that I've been serving that we've had this much regional participation, a lot of money that we are getting. So we need to recognize that as a great historic in terms of all the good things that are going on here. So thank you to Tom and to your wonderful team for bringing in that money. And hopefully you guys have a Merry, Merry Christmas. So we certainly are. But with that, are there any questions or is there a motion?
Move approval.
There's a motion and a second.
Just one moment. I agree. It's all great work. Really impressive work, and it's the greatest example of what happens when we think regionally and the great impact this will have. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, I think the other side of it is also recognizing that regionally we can go after bigger monies. Mm-hmm. And I think individually as cities, we all do what we do, and sometimes where we're successful, but as a region, we've been scoring very, very well.
We can make a great case when we look to these
items.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something to point out. There's a motion, there's a second. Can we get a vote call? Were all those in favor signify by saying
aye? Aye.
Any no's? Any abstentions?
If I might chime in briefly, Chair, when I think about signal synchronization and our coordination, it started a long time ago, didn't it? We were looking at some air quality money and potentially giving out six projects to six individual cities to do signal synchronization, even though they might each be synchronizing 1 mile, and then the next city would be doing the next 2 miles. And I remember Councilmember Harnett being at the table along with a few others. Gosh, it's been 10 years, I think. And we consolidated those recommendations and put them into one program. So it's come a long way. We're doing good things, including at Ironman, right?
Yes, sir. Went very well.
Good.
Good sake of it.
Chair, sorry about that.
No worries. Any comments from the attorney?
We're going to need it for the arena.
I do want to say thank you very much. It was the first time Ironman came and went, and I didn't hear any complaints about anything.
Yes. You're right.
Thank you, Linda.
Play a small role.
Any other comments? Any kind of motion?
Move to approve.
Second. Can do it. There is a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Is Tim on this project or right?
I am.
Okay.
Item D is the CBC Phase 3 Additional Environmental and Engineering Services along Barnard Road.
Good evening, honorable chairs and committee members. I say good evening because it's after 5 and it's dark. So I come before you today with kind of a joint project. And I'm going to start with showing you some, this is phase two, phase three of CBC and Barnard Road, but it's combined with one project. I'm going to start with what we were just talking about. And you've all seen the pictures of Hillary and the destruction that it took on the region. This is from different newspapers. This is from our own camera. This is part of CDC Phase 1. These are taken from our own camera showing Barnard Road. And you can see that Barnard Road has some of its own difficulties. But we shared these pictures and we shared videos that come with them with the county and with Caltrans. And they were very pleased, to say the least, that they now have these internal capabilities to look at this. And they added many more people to the training. But this is our own cameras, so we pay for drones or do any aerial photographs. It's just our looking broader. This is from the same place, but you can see, going back, as far as the eye can see, you see Barnard backed up. And it's we're all there. But this is just visually what a show that was. This is from our cameras at Washington, which is also a phase one project. The truck's stuck in the highway. And you can see the trucks again going back as far as the eye can see up there through Cathedral City into Desert Hot Springs. The highway's closed, the street's closed, and it's a mess. This is the one at Washington, looking towards Jefferson, maybe should have been closed, the interstate highway. And it's not, but the thing that I wanted to point at is, right at the very top is Barnard Road. And if we have needed it, or if we need it in the future, Barnard Road is there. And as you can see, there's no traffic on Barnard Road because it was taken care of previously. These are our own cameras, and again, part of our own phase one system. So you can see phase three. Chris shows you phase one and phase two. Phase three puts a nice northern cap on this project, and that's important because ultimately that will be fiber optic links loose. It probably won't be in the first time around, we'll probably go with a lot of wireless across there and get it done fast and inexpensively, but, and wireless works. That's the extent of the project for the phase three. It includes Wire Road, which, by the way, Highway Patrol is on Wire Road. It includes Avenue 42, and it includes Gulf Center Parkway. Now, Gulf Center Parkway and parts of 42 may not be a big part of what we look at in a bypass, but they could be. And they certainly are part of phase three, because they make that loop for our system. So we went out for proposals back in September, and we received four of them. Alkin Webb, Michael Baker, and Kevin Horn put together a team of reviewers that included Caltrans, included the county, included Palm Desert, who's impacted very heavily by the closures on the interstate, and we included Cathedral City, who's had a lot of experience with flooding, low sand, and water eroding issues along with CBAC. With that five-member committee, the short list was Docket and Michael Baker. We interviewed both of them, and Docket was the consensus choice for to interview and to take further into the process. We shared information back and forth, especially with Cathedral City, that has a couple of projects going on tied to Barter Road, and came up with our recommendation, which is to negotiate, allow the executive director to authorize him to approve up to $5,148,000 on this project, number one. But number two, negotiate and execute reimbursement agreements with the cities, not for the whole thing, not for the CB6 side, but for the roadway side, which is looking at Barna Road as a bypass. And I will point out that in the TPPS, currently there are, I believe, 8 TPPS projects on Barna Road. And to fund all of those projects would cost hundreds of millions of dollars. That's not likely to be the recommendation. But taking bits and pieces out of some of those projects may well be part of the recommendation as the feasibility study is done. So it may benefit a lot of that corridor out of the TPPS. And so that part, the second part of the negotiating contract on the bypass side with the involved jurisdictions. And so that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, this is a pretty significant regional project. So are there any questions from the Transportation Committee?
No questions, but without a doubt, it's good to see that we're not looking at a roadway here that's an important regional roadway and doing just the CDC and leaving out the engineering to actually make the roadway with the CDC. So I think this combination is really smart. So again, congratulations to see that for seeing that and placing these together.
Or
the overlap with
the all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Any no's? Motion carries. The executive.
I just wanted to say that the I-10 ad hoc committee met. We talked about a lot of projects along Interstate 10, and Barnes is a key piece to the West End alternative routes, which actually travels through the valley for the most part, but not just Tropical Storm Hillary causing the problems that it did along I-10. This has become a normal alternative route for major traffic on holidays, festivals, and evenings and children at this time. So engineering this for what it should be in the future is going to be really important for us, and we're going to continue to move along with our ad hoc committee and our focus, and that's going to be part of it. So any other comments from the executive group?
Just a question. Since CB Sync doesn't capture Ranch Mirage, but they have their own on the 111 side, are there plans to potentially do something for the Ranch Mirage jurisdiction? And for, I'm asking Ranch Mirage for that segment, so it again somewhat ties, even though it's not part of the Sync project?
We have plans for over the next couple of years to synchronize every single city and every single signal intersection in the city. So that should happen within 2 years.
And what Keith is going to pay for
it. Thank you.
And Eric, just to confirm, I believe there's a fair amount of coordination between our staff and the regional team and what Ranch Mirage is doing with their team.
Absolutely. Although right now, the study is going to be integrated in corridor management. That's talking intelligent transportation systems across the whole region. So it will focus on that, but it will include all of the ITS equipment that we're deploying through the region to communicate with everything on all the corridors that we have in phase two and phase one. This does not go through Ranch Mirage because it stays on the north side of the town, but we are working with staff in Ranch Mirage and with everyone in the valley on this project.
I appreciate you mentioning that. Yes, we have made our fiber available, and we have made the room under cabinets available. So we are coordinating that with the
cooperation.
Any other comments? Yes, ma'am.
No, I just want to say I concur with that Councilman Gregory. His comments were very appreciative of all of this. Anybody's ready to make a motion on it?
The motion by Cleo City, is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Any other comments? Did everybody? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Item E is the next step for addressing climate change, emergencies, and sandstorms. So the acronym ACCESS. On Indian Canyon Drive, Mr. Holcomb.
Good afternoon. Indian Canyon has long been a priority for the region, as everyone in this room recognizes. The Executive Committee and the Transportation Committee took action back in 2019 with the initiation of the Flooding the Lowsand Study that looked at western Coachella Valley and the city of Desert Hot Springs, Palm Springs, Cedar City, identifying where we have issues of flooding as well as Lowsand. And Indian Canyon was quickly identified as a high priority, and in 2022, the Executive Committee awarded a contract to Michael Baker International, MBI, to start work on working on Indian Canyon improvements. With this year, being the first year that the Local Transportation Climate Adaptation Program was released by the state of California, this program is to focus on climate resiliency, to protect the protection of at-risk or at-threat transportation infrastructure, such as Indian Canyon, which closed, I believe, over 70 days so far this year, and, as we know, provides a service to this facility. So being that this was the first year, our executive director, Tom Burke, quickly identified this as a high priority, put a team together, and led that team to shape the grant application so that it aligned with the CTC's bidding for this funding. So as a result of this, the work informing this grant application, I have some images here to highlight some of the elements. Not only are we putting in these the bridges over the flooding points along the corridor, we're also putting in an elevated active transportation pathway that also is shielded from low sand and solar shade on top. The culverts underneath the roadway are designed so that they are wildlife undercrossings. They have a sandy bottom to allow for rainfall lizards and other species to use that. We have a solar feature on top of the pathway. The pathway connects from the levee on the south, on the Chino Canyon levee to the south, and extends all the way up to the train station in North Palm Springs. And then on the south end, that's where the path ties into Steve Link, which we just talked about on the first item. So we would propose to put in an overcrossing that would protect the users on Steve Link that would then tie into the piece that runs north along the canyon. So this is what we're trying to solve. And it's an endeavor that we're still working on. NBI is currently in the design phase. But with these new elements, you know, they're looking at how to design it in such a way to protect us not only from the flooding, which in this case is kind of know where the flooding is, but the wind becomes an issue, how to deal with the low sand. So as we go through the, let me back up for a second. That's not a good slide to leave. I'll leave it on this side. So in November, the CTC announced a recommendation for $50 million towards this project. I just described. It was one of the two projects in the state, only two projects that received the highest recommended award of $50 million. So the CPC will meet this week, and if it is approved, we are including this recommendation on staff report would be to authorize the executive director to approve a contract with Michael Baker International to include in their scope of work these additional design elements that would be added as part of the grant. And then lastly, CBAG also submitted an application to the U.S. Department of Transportation's Reconnecting Communities Program, similar application for the project. We submitted a $50 million grant application. We would find out in the spring of 2024 whether we were successful for that funding. In addition to that, we are coordinating working with RCTC. SCAG released a call for projects for some federal money that's been routed through the state through SCAG. And we're working with RCTC to submit the same project forward, as many of the elements that the state's looking for, to receive some additional funding for that project. The overall project, as it's scoped now, is about $75 million, so any additional funding we can receive in the project would help. And then lastly, there was a lot of support that we received from many in this room and others, and I want to just pass it off to Tom Kirk maybe to speak to that.
Well, and, certainly the city of Spring has long been a leader. Of course, council member Middleton's been taking the lead in many ways by virtue of her being on the Transportation Committee. And, of course, Mayor Mattis has long said perhaps the most important transportation project for the city of Desert Hot Springs is in Mayor Garner's City of Palm Springs, and that's Indian Avenue and or Gene Autry, because both of those are critical links between the two cities. So the leadership of these two cities have been important. I mentioned that the mayor's state of the city in Desert Hot Springs, it's not typical that you have this kind of coordination where a mayor in one city says the most important project for him and his constituency is in somebody else's city. It's a big deal, and it kind of goes to the kind of cooperation and coordination we've done here, and we're doing a lot more of it. I do want to thank our staff at CBAG. Manuel Martinez found this opportunity for us. That was awesome. Manuel did a fantastic job. Eric not only came up with the name Access, but rewrote a lot of my material, the manuals, and everybody else. And Jonathan did a lot of the big picture thinking on the scope of the project. And our entire team, we actually involved our Coachella Valley Conservation Commission staff as well, because, of course, this isn't a conservation area. And we involved our energy staff, because the state certainly wants to see that component as well. So it was a multidisciplinary effort, and maybe the largest award the Coachella Valley has ever received, and certainly the only one I know of where we were number one in the state of California on this kind of award. It's huge. So with that, Chair, that's the end of both chairs. That's the end of our staff report.
I'm going to open it up as a transportation committee, and Commissioner Eric Middleton.
Thank you. I don't have any questions, Jonathan, but an incredible amount of applause and thank yous. And I want to go back. This really got started after the St. Valentine's Day flooding in 2019, when we met as a transportation committee not long after that. And in some instances, it had taken people 2 and 2.5 hours to get from one side of the valley to the other, and it was painfully obvious that this was a valley-wide issue. And what was incredibly gratifying, I know, for those of us in Palm Springs and Desert Hot Springs, is the extent to which across the valley, every voice that was a part of the Transportation Committee at that time expressed support for us approaching this in a different fashion, and it's because of not only that initial support, but the continued support that's lasted for over 3.5 years. We are sitting here today on the verge of having the funding to solve the problem that's existed in our region going back 25 years. This is one of those days that all of us get an opportunity to feel really proud of the work that we do and the commitment we make when we run for office. And so I am thrilled that folks will be able to get out of Palm Springs, but I am really thrilled that when the next time somebody is in an ambulance heading down Indian Canyon from north of the freeway, they are going to get here and hopefully get here on time. This has been a matter of life and death that has been faced by our friends north of the freeway far more than for us here in Palm Springs. And Mayor Mattis, it has been a truly a pleasure to work with you.
We're on a roll here, and we've obviously gotten some good money from the state of California. I know that you're going to be applying to the federal government as well as looking at opportunities with RCTC. What can we do as a region to continue this momentum and assisting in those efforts? The more money we can get, the more of other people's money we can get, better said, I guess, the better off our programs locally are going to be to continue to fund all of our programs. So I'm wondering, what can we do as cities to assist you in those efforts as you go out and say, seek federal monies?
I can start and answer, see if anyone has anything to add, but we have actually already submitted that application to the federal government, so we're hoping that it will be selected. This application included a really aggressive timeline, so just coordinating with all the agencies involved to help us expedite all the processes through environmental and planning and engineering in order to get a project ready to go to construction. If we don't construct it with the window we say we're going to construct it, we won't get the money. So just expediting everything, all the agencies can contribute. And then what we tried to do, we really wouldn't be in a position if the executive committee wouldn't have taken that step to create a shovel-ready project with having Michael Baker work on this project back in, well, doing the study in 2019 and then doing the initiating the work group in 2022 to even get them started. We wouldn't be able to put the project forward if we weren't already working to get shovel-ready projects. So I think continuing what you're doing to prioritize project and regional priorities and try to move them along to get them shovel-ready.
Any other questions from the transportation committee? With that, I'll accept the motion to move item number E.
Move approval.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second, Makita.
Second, Makita. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Move on to the executive committee.
Well, I'm going to start with a few comments. And again, the city of Palm Springs, from Councilmember Middleton to Mayor Kern, it's been a pleasure working with both of you. We, 2 years ago, we talked on the phone and we wanted to have, maybe 3 years ago or so. We talked about this project, and as Tom said, it's become a priority. It's not just a priority that I've made or the city council has made. It's coming from our constituents, it really is. We've had people that call all the time. I had a gentleman actually tell us to buy a tractor, go up off your booter. Whatever we can do. And so it's not that easy. We come to find out it's not that easy. But we've been able to bring all types of legislators and individuals with some sort of power through the state to see these projects. And I think that had an impact. And it's the great work that's been done by this by CVAG and the cities of Palm Springs. This is going to be a lifesaver. Can't stop saying that enough. People through my city have taken power long ambulance ride, which should take 20 minutes in most cases to get to the hospital. And so we don't want to be too dramatic, but we need to be dramatic, I guess. So this is really important for us. Any further comments?
Sure.
So the timing of all this, I hate to say that it couldn't be any better, because obviously the timing for all this should have been done a long time ago, but it wasn't necessarily within our hands. And to some degree it is now. And obviously you already have heard some great comments made by our colleagues, but we've had a pretty decent working relationship with AQMD, Air Quality Management District, for quite some time with the street sweeping program. But it can be better. And the fact that in the last 6 years we've had three bad air quality days versus in the last few months we've had five. The air pollution, the concern that we have with congestion, the sand, it's coming. It's already here and more is coming. And we're talking about distribution centers and things of that nature. A lot of traffic, a lot more pollution. And so, not only is it our opportunity to reach out to FEMA, to the state, and have shovel-ready projects to go after these funds that exist now for our area, which did not before. We're at a good place with AQMD, where now they're going to place two more air monitors, as they have already in Palm Springs and Mecca. But I understand they're going to be placing two more, one in Indio and another one in the Western Valley. I'm not exactly sure exactly where. But nonetheless, we need more air monitors. And aside from that, finally, after all these years, there will be a climate change committee within AQMD in which we can engage in. Obviously, be part of the lessons learned, the workshops, the education, the information, but as well to advocate for ourselves, for us to be empowered to receive the monies that we rightfully deserve, that should be here in our valley. And once again, nowhere else, in my opinion, in the state of California, and not even in the west end of the county of Riverside, is doing what we do best. Which is, although at times we might not always get along, but you know what, at the end of the day, we figure it out. And we manage. And we win. And so I just want to put it out there that I think that we're going to have more opportunities through AQMD, maybe potentially CARB. I'm not exactly sure about CARB. That's a whole other monster. But let's attack AQMD and let's go get that money that we deserve. And thank you for all the good work you've done here as a staff and obviously our colleagues.
Any other comments? I'll entertain a motion.
Lakeita,
I second.
And those are Palm Springs, second by the Quinta. All those in favor say aye.
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 Alright, item number 13 is information. If you have any questions, you can put it in chat. I'm sure you can answer those. Item number 14 is public comments on non-agenda items. Do we have any public comments?
No, Chair, we did not.
Do we have any audience for that? Moving forward. We're going to move to announcements. The executive committee will meet the next time we'll meet on Monday, January 29th, 2024, at the CVAC conference room. Transportation will meet on Monday, February 5th, 2024, at 10 a.m. at the CVAC conference room. Mr. Chair, transportation,
any
final comments?
No, I will just mention that a few years ago, the CVAC and Transportation Committee were very, very, very helpful in the Strategic Growth Council and making sure that the region at least was being heard. We had some issues with implementation. We had some issues with making sure that our fair share was coming to this region. And I just got an email on my way over here so I can announce it from them that we were awarded, City of Chile was awarded a $22.3 million implementation grant
on
the Strategic Growth Council. So I just wanted to mention that because Indio is also eligible, and the county just also got an award as well. So those opportunities are there, and we need to continue to work as a region to get those dollars.
So you don't need anything more from us.
Not yet. No,
I'm good for the year.
Congratulations.
And with that, we are adjourned.